A beautiful day for a Renaissance festival in the kingdom of Gold Canyon in the village of Fairhaven. Rosie on the House Gang is on site, so you'll get a chance to see them. There'll be plenty of people roaming the streets, plenty of subjects, I should say, roaming the streets, and also some terrific acts, including Lloyd Robert Chessman, the Royal Falconer. Lord Robert, good morning.
Good day to you.
This must be an interesting job because the Royal Falconer is a very important position.
It is. It's a real hoot, actually.
How much of a hoot is it?
You know, it's a lot of fun. It's great for the whole family. And it's something that we love to present to everyone. It's a life that, you know, is long gone, bygone days, as it were. And it's so important that we get the message out about Her Majesty's royal kingdom and all of the animals that live in it.
Being a royal falconer must have its challenges. How do you become one?
Well, you know, to become a royal falconer, you know, in modern day, actually, it requires special permits and licensing and that sort of thing. And you go through an apprenticeship. The apprenticeship lasts for about 2 years, and you become what's called a general. And then from there, after you've practiced for 7 years, you become a master. And this is actually my 25th year here at the festival, and I've actually been doing this type of activity for over 30 years.
Fantastic. And it's a terrific act amongst the many acts you'll see at the Arizona Renaissance Festival today. So, Lord Robert, I won't keep you because I know the Falcons are waiting for your performance here. Lord Robert Chessman, Royal Falconer, you'll see him today at the Arizona Renaissance Festival. Have a great day.
Bring the whole family and flock to the Renaissance Festival.
I do need to go to that sometime. I always...
Yeah.
I have never been.
It's fun.
It's on
a lot
your,
of fun.
My favorite act is Don Juan and Miguel. Champion sword fighters, corniest jokes you've ever heard. That's just one of the many. It's so much fun. Bring the kids.
You'll can't even it. Get it all done in one day.
Out on Route 60 through the end of March. Get out there and enjoy it. Like, we've got our promotion team there today. Say it's an absolutely gorgeous day to do it.
We've got our favorite places to eat when we're out on the rodeo trail. And when we're in Florence, there's the river bottom.
Sure.
That's just great cheeseburgers. So at the end of the day, we go over there and we couldn't have timed it better because as we're on our way out, you could tell the festival had closed because a flood of in-character actors had stormed the place.
Wow.
Got your own private act, did you?
We did.
On the north shore of the Gila River.
The river bottom bar and cafe.
It's a pretty good cheeseburger.
It best cheeseburgers, and the water's so clear you can see the bottom
of the river. Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Well, sounds like a lot of
it's
fun,
dry,
but we probably should
Gary,
get back to the we should probably get back to the callers. We have Robert online,
yes.
but we had to. Gary was holding to the bottom and had to leave.
We only got his question before we had to
go on
break.
Really didn't even give you the question. They had heard a loud sound.
Yes.
He had a handyman come out.
Okay.
And he told him that there was an 8-foot linear crack in the rafter.
Okay.
And told him he needed to call a roofer. And what say you? He said he'll go by whatever you tell him.
I'd be curious if the handyman who went in the attic actually took a picture of what we were dealing with. I'm not thinking you would have a roofer take care of that. But Gary, if you have a broken member of a truss, a top cord or a bottom cord or even a vertical supporting component, it's fairly simple to fix. We'll just go in the attic with a similar size piece of material, get it bearing at the same points on each end, and bolt the broken member to the new member. Sometimes we'll even take two members up and bolt through it. I would not leave a cracked truss in my attic. I would get a carpenter to go up there, and we call this sister up the truss. You get similar materials, join it right next to it, sister up to it, bolt it together, and now you've returned the integrity of that particular unit. It is not a horribly expensive operation. A carpenter with a helper can probably get it done in a morning. It isn't something that's going to take a long amount of time. There isn't a lot of damage. There's not a lot of masking off to do. I would encourage you, you might want to call a Rosie certified roofer serving the Buckeye area, and just get the name. Every roofing company has a carpenter familiar with replacing fascia and eave molding and drip molding, and just see if their carpenter would be available to come out there and sister up a member to that broken truss cord. I'd get it fixed. So we're there. Let's see if we can jump to Robert calling from Peoria. That opens a line for you at 1-888-767-4348. Robert, you're up. You're up, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Am I on the air?
You are, buddy.
All right. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Listen, I have a small guest house, about 1,000 square feet, and I removed all the T11 on it and replaced it with OSB because I'm going to have a stucco guy come and stucco it. But what happened is I had to take the electrical panel off. It's a sub panel. I turned the power off at the main panel. Now, the electrician comes out. He says, I don't have to wait to get a stucco. He can put a pan, I don't know what a pan is, but behind the panel, go ahead and install it. And I can have that installed and keep going with my remodel without waiting for the stucco guy first. Can that be done, or should I wait for the stucco to be done and then put the electrical panel?
And you've pulled a building permit for this, right?
I did not, because when I called them on the phone, I emailed them and told them what I was doing. They said, okay, yeah, you get this, because I do have an architect. And they said, are you changing the footprint? I said, no, I'm just replacing walls. You know, I'm just replacing stuff that's here. And he said, well, you don't need a permit. I was like, but I want it up to code. So he said, well, you can do what you want. He said, you get a permit or you don't. But the electrician, what he described to me, he describes everything up to code. I said, will it be up to code? He said, it will be.
Okay. Well,
but the house was built in 71, I'm just trying to upgrade it.
Okay. All right. Well, it would surprise me if Peoria didn't require a permit for changing out an electric panel. That's a pretty significant electrical project. And the electrician is telling you correctly, you can pan that panel and mount it directly to the OSB and let them stucco around it. And that works fine. It does eliminate, if you stucco first, then you've got to bore holes through your stucco, get back to the sheathing or the studs and mount the panel to that. So the thing about the pan is it fits really tight to the electrical box, and then the stucco, you put your inscreed all the way around that, and then you have a very, very clean joint between the pan and your screed to caulk. It gives you a very nice finish detail. But I couldn't encourage you enough. Check back with City of Peoria and say, look, I'm changing a service electric panel. Are you sure you don't want to see a permit? Because generally, the utility company that's going to pull the meter socket and put the meter socket back in won't even come out to the house to plug the meter socket back in unless they know it's been final approved by the city, in my experience.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing. As if he might say that now, but that's going to hold up the project when the utility companies come out, because the electricians don't shut off the power. And if you're replacing, they can't. If you're replacing the entire panel and you're getting a new meter, you know, that's the utility company gets involved there. So then you'll have to stop the project, go back to the city, get your permit, then reschedule it.
I'd be surprised. I'd like to know if they seriously are not, just so I could know that. But that would really surprise me.
And well, that's one of those towns, I won't rename it, but you know, you often give Tempe a hard time for being bad with permits. This Peoria's got a horrible reputation for permit process ease as well.
I don't operate in that part of town, so I don't know, but we have been asked to do a couple jobs in Tempe, and it's the hardest city to deal with of all the ones we do ordinarily deal with. I will tell you that. That's going to be a few phone calls on Monday. We're talking about White House here on this President's Day weekend, and I had the opportunity to visit with several contractors in the D.C. area that have experience working at the White House, and what kind of security clearance does it take? As the air conditioning company owner, You're not the only one that has to get security clearance. Everybody that sets foot on that property has to get security clearance. And one of the guys I talked to said, Rosie, it's not really as big a deal as you might think. He says, the first time I ever had to go on the property, I had to give my name, date of birth, social security number, and I was given a release in a day. I got my security clearance to work in the White House after a day. I thought, well, that is a little bit less strenuous than I would have suspected. I would have thought it would be background checks and everything else. He says it's run by the National Park Service.
Oh.
The White House. Because it is a national museum.
Interesting. But my thought was, and it's a scary one, at that level, going to the White House when you go there and give them your name and number, how much data do you think they have on you?
Probably more than.
They probably know what bills you have outstanding right now. Hey, by the way, you're cleared for security. Just a reminder, your electric bill's due in 3 days.
Well, he was talking about a particular secure installation that he had to do one time, right in the private living quarters of the White House. This particular task that he had to do. And he'd worked at the White House before, but had never gone into the private living quarters. He'd been in the, you know, some of the administrative rooms and offices and meeting rooms and stuff. And he says, Rosie, at that point, you have to go through another level. And there's this room you have to go through. And there are armed guards. And when they say, please prepare for the BCS.
BCS.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't college football.
Mm-mm.
No.
He says that's when you know to turn around and send somebody else. Body cavity search.
Ooh.
So
I really don't think I need.
That's not the bowl championship series. That's, he says, when he says it's kind of the joke that when they call you and ask you, you just ask them, well, does this work include a BCS or not? Then that will tell me whether I'm available to come out and perform the work or not.
Well, if you get through that, you win a championship. That's for sure.
He was talking.
There might be like a $10 million premium on the job added to that.
Yeah.
he talked about employees just veering one hall off or opening one office door before the designated office for repairs, and literally employees of his being tackled. One false step. I guess you're just monitored and regulated every single step.
Come to think of it, BCS is kind of appropriate now. Getting tackled in the White House.
Well, he claims that this is a true story, that a mechanical contractor who was on the roof of a building adjacent to the White House.
And I've been there. I mean, adjacent to the White House.
Isn't real close.
No. Yeah. You couldn't physically jump or.
No. But he was on the roof making some repairs that apparently people hadn't gotten the appropriate. I don't know. I don't know what happened. But he claims that in carrying some material, he tripped and fell down. And when he stood up, he looked down to pick everything up, and there were three laser targets on his chest.
So if that's all he could see, how many more you think were really there?
Man, oh, man.